Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here today. And in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Love to hear from our listeners today. And the phone number is 888-514-2100. Phone lines are open. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. And if you're listening to us from England or Russia or Taiwan and you really want to talk to us, you can reach us internationally as well. And that number is plus one, which is the U.S. code, 858-268-3068. Again, that's 858-268-3068. Phone lines are open, and we'd love to talk with you. Sherry, I have several email questions here.
Lovely.
And let me give out the email address before I jump into that. openair@livingcompassion.org is our email address. So if you have a question, if you can't get to a phone right now and you want to get in touch with us when we're not on the air, please feel free to send us an email. Question is, how should we define success? I am a coach of a highly competitive activity in a highly competitive area. It seems to me that although coaches state, quote, it's not about winning or losing, and end quote, these same coaches measure their, quote, value by wins and losses. There is such a paradox here. Is it wrong to value winning?
Well, you know, that's one of those where I just, you know, where do we begin with that?
Sherry?
If we start through that, there are so many things that we're taught to say as a society that everybody knows are just flat out not true. And it doesn't matter whether you win or lose. It's not about winning. All of those things we know.
Sherry?
Thank you.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I was wondering if you could speak up a little bit.
Well, that's really interesting because I'm having a lot of trouble hearing you, and I thought it was just me.
Wow. Okay. I will speak up also.
All right. you know, we all know that that's just flat out not true. It absolutely matters whether a coach wins or loses. In fact, if they win, they keep their job, and if they don't, they lose their job. So if you're a coach in a highly competitive field or highly competitive whatever it is, and you're working with a group of people who are highly competitive, so, you know, you're in a top football school, and you're the football coach, now you know that nobody believes for a second it doesn't matter whether you win or lose. So if you know that and that's what you want to do, well, that's a great thing. You know, there's nothing about Zen awareness practice that is going to take people to the conclusion that that email reached. What was that line again? Yeah, it's no, of course it's not. And it's not right to value winning. Those two things don't have anything to do with each other.
Uh-huh.
You value winning or you don't value winning. It has nothing to do with is it right or wrong. Right or wrong is just something that people tag onto everything so that they can feel good or bad about it. But it doesn't have anything to do with winning.
Uh-huh.
You with me on that one?
Yeah.
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 So
you can value winning, and there's not a right or wrong with that. It's just that you value winning.
That's right. And now, of course, Zen awareness practice is about ending suffering.
Uh-huh.
So if you value winning, if you really value winning, because you're in a competitive whatever, and you really value winning, you're going to suffer when you lose.
Uh-huh.
It would just be almost impossible not to.
Yeah.
Now, a person could really enjoy winning. Okay,
yeah.
That's,
yeah.
You know, there you are.
Huh?
And to the degree that you're invested in it, you're going to suffer when you don't have it.
Uh-huh.
So it's like anything else. You know, I really value money.
Yes.
Okay, well, then if I don't have any money, I'm going to be unhappy.
Uh-huh.
I could say, well, you know, it's not that I'm attached to it. I just really enjoy it. Okay, well, then when I don't have it, I'm not going to be enjoying things quite as much.
Uh-huh.
So it's from my perspective, it's none of this is about right, wrong, good, bad. It has to do with, are you suffering over this? Are you not suffering over this?
Uh-huh.
There are people, if we get into something like money, who apparently just love to make money.
Uh-huh.
They don't particularly care about having money. They love to make money.
Yeah.
So they'll make a lot of money, and then they'll lose all that money. And then they'll start over, and they'll make a lot of money again. And they'll do that, you know, whatever number of times in their lives. There are other people who want money, and they want just to have money. They don't, you know, it's not about earning it. It's not about, it's just having it.
Uh-huh.
So those people are going to get money however they can, and they're going to squirrel it away, and they're going to hold on to it. And now, is that a good thing? Well, if that's what they want to do, then... that's what they want to do. Is it a bad thing? It's not either of those. They're probably going to suffer over it.
Uh-huh.
The very process of it is a process of suffering. It's
uh-huh.
believing something is real, is a constant that isn't. Anytime we're doing that, the only way we can do it is by believing ourselves to be someone who is real and constant. And that means someone, a separate self, someone who is outside of life, who wants life to be a certain way, who is happy when it's this way and unhappy when it's not that way. And there we have it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sherry, we have a caller on the line.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Linda from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm well, Linda. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Well, I have to tell you, Sherry, I got a newsletter in the mail the other day, and it's from this bookstore, a local bookstore here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and there was a little advertisement in there about unconditional self-acceptance, Sherry Huber, and I spent that morning, when I saw the newsletter, I ended up on your website, I probably sat there for 3 hours, completely engrossed in it all, ended up buying 3 of your books plus the tapes, and I've just been introduced to you, and I was hoping that you could give me some insight into your Zen practice and specifically unconditional self-acceptance. I'm very interested in that.
Uh-huh, because we can sense that it would, unconditional self-acceptance would add to the quality of life of most people, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what we do in Zen awareness practice is practice awareness. And what it's based in is the assumption that we can prove to ourselves that suffering is not something that is a given. Suffering is something that we create and we do.
And we choose.
Well, it's not even so much that we choose it. It's that it's more like a habit.
Okay.
So if you have a lifelong habit of biting your fingernails and you can't even remember a time when you didn't bite your fingernails, if someone said, well, you're choosing to bite your fingernails, you know, you might kind of stumble over that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like it's a choice. It's just something you do, like having, you know, brown eyes or red hair or being so tall or having a certain body type. It's just feels like it's just something that is.
Yeah.
And so we begin to watch how habits are formed and how habits are maintained. And we begin to see how those habits, those conditioned reactions, keep in place a belief system that
tells us who we are and how the world is.
Mm-hmm.
So this conditioned mind that we think is who we are, that has been there creating our reality for longer than we can remember, okay, we begin to look at it, to watch what it does, instead of just believing that the information it's giving us is real and true.
Okay.
You with me on that one?
I am.
Yeah. So as we do this process of watching, we begin to see that much of what we believe to be true just flat out isn't. We've been taught to believe it, and we've always believed it, but that's not the same as it's true. So if, for instance, in my family, my father called my brother and me lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember a time when he wasn't yelling at us that we were lazy. Well, we both grew up to be overachiever workaholic types.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, was I lazy as a kid? No. Kids aren't lazy. There's a lot of stuff going on with kids, but they're not lazy.
Right.
Okay, so when I look at that, when I watch how that process works in me, mm-hmm. then I get to the place of having a choice about how I want to spend my time, what I want to do, how much I want to work, and that sort of thing. I'm yeah. not just reacting to old belief systems, old conditioned voices inside of me that are controlling my life and creating my reality. I'm actually learning to be here and present.
Yes.
Yeah, which is the meditation part of the program, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what it's all about.
It reminds me, I've recently participated in some landmark education.
Uh-huh.
You're familiar with that?
I am.
And it reminds me a lot of that because they discuss your act. And I had gone through what they call the forum, and my act is that I'm helpless, and I see how that shows
that
up in my
what?
Life.
Your act is that you're what?
Helpless.
Helpless, uh-huh.
That I'm helpless. And so I see how that shows up in my life, and I'm present to it.
Uh-huh.
Now, and then can decide to be helpless or not to be helpless.
Yes.
And
you're actually present in this moment watching that belief system
mm-hmm.
rather than being embroiled in that belief system, looking out through it at a world that seems to confirm the belief.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I have, you know, when I became aware of that, I reflected on my past and those circumstances where, in fact, I was living into that conditioned belief.
Yeah.
That I was helpless.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And I hate to minimize or reduce it to this kind of a conversation, but, like, I smoke, and I can't quit. I mean, I can quit, but I haven't quit. And it is uh-huh. It's the worst aspect of my character, and I cannot seem to... I don't identify with it. It isn't who I am, but I, for whatever reasons,
yeah.
I'm unable to yeah. kick the habit.
Yeah, you can see why people came up with 12-step programs, can't you?
Yeah.
Where people stand up and say, I am helpless, you know, against this, I am powerless.
Powerless,
against
right.
Against this, whatever it is. And there's the feeling. Yes, yes. Now, to me, of course, I can't remember if you said this. Have you read There's Nothing Wrong With You?
I just got that.
Okay.
I'm waiting for these books to come. I got the Fear Book, Being the Person You Want to Find, There's Nothing Wrong With You, and Unconditional Self-Acceptance.
Excellent. Good choices. Okay, so There's Nothing Wrong With You is going to give you lots of insights into this process. And, of course, I think something like smoking is just the most wonderful opportunity to see how all of this stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you bring conscious, compassionate awareness, which is critical, we never really let go a habit like that without conscious, compassionate awareness. We
mm-hmm.
can avoid it. We can repress it. We can beat ourselves into not doing something, but we don't make peace with it. as long as there is self-hatred about it.
Yes.
So as you bring conscious compassion and awareness to this habit, you're going to see all of the aspects of your personality who are involved. Hmm. You're going to see the nature of addiction, of craving. You're going to see how self-hatred plays into that. And you're going to begin to develop the mentor, that compassionate presence who will be there to bring the unconditional acceptance to you as you take these steps away from that addiction. The 16th of April, I'm going to be at the Carnegie Library.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So maybe I'll see you there.
Okay, great.
Wonderful. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're at the end of our first segment, and we'll be right back with you in just a couple minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back with you in a couple minutes. Back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, I was thinking about Linda's call and the strength of the conditioning that we're up against.
Nothing like smoking or that kind of habit or addiction to let us know how powerful conditioning is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And for me, there's such power in recognizing that there is such a thing as conditioning, and that's what I'm, you know, working with.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not alone.
Yes.
I'm not the only one. We are all in this boat. So for Linda, it's smoking cigarettes. For somebody else, it's sugar or food in general, or it's sex, or it's over-exercising, or just whatever it is.
Yeah.
Each one of us has something that is a particularly difficult place for us, and it's the one around which all of the sort of minor addictions that serve that personal identity that is a place of suffering.
Each
one of us, and it's great when we can get together in a situation like this and talk about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because otherwise, we are conditioned to believe that we're the only one, and that whatever it is that we have going on is deeply shameful, and if other people knew, they would be judgmental, or they would lose respect for us or whatever. And in fact, if everybody stood up and confessed what was going on with them, we would just all heave a huge sigh of relief. All right, well, let's start from here then.
We could all just raise our hands right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I've got that.
Being.
Yep, I'd do that. Yep, I'm that kind of person. And it doesn't mean, certainly I would like to see Linda quit smoking because it's not good for a person. You know, it's not good for a person's body.
Yeah.
In the same way that drinking too much alcohol or eating too much sugar or, you know, all of those other kinds of things that folks tend to suffer with, struggle with, it's not that they're a la the, is it wrong to be competitive? You know, there's nothing wrong with any of it. It's that people suffer over it.
Yes.
It's not good for us. It's not a healthy way to live.
Yes.
And so we want to address these issues, but we don't have to feel bad or guilty or shameful we don't have to hate ourselves because they exist. They're just part of being conditioned human beings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Sherry, I was going to remind everyone of, you know, when you'll be visiting in their neighborhood in the country, but the calls are just backing up here.
Well, then we just know where our priorities are.
We'll come back to that.
Right.
I'd like to welcome Janet from New Hampshire. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
How are you?
Michael, hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm doing great. And I love, I'm standing up and confessing.
Oh.
I loved the little segue in here. I'm calling up with my particular difficult place of suffering. I'm doing your email class.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you asked about what are our scams. Yeah. What do we see coming up that...
The ego scams, right? The way conditioned mind tricks us and fools us and gets it to go along with its agenda instead of living our lives authentically in the present.
Yes. And I really wanted to speak about a really big scam for me is that whenever I begin to, like, say the email class started and almost within 24 hours, I had some weird pain in my body that needed my immediate attention, you know, and I was probably going to die from it.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't going to die that day, I was going to die within the next week.
Uh-huh.
So there was no time for me to do anything but totally immerse myself in what's going on, what's wrong.
Following, tracking. Now talk about awareness practice, right? You know, I try to get people to attend really closely. You know, watch the sensation and watch. And, of course, people can't do it. You know, we just, conditioned mind is not interested in having us focus in that kind of minute detail. But as soon as it's something like there's a pain there.
Right.
We are able to focus on it, just turn that microscope on it and be on it for hours on end.
Hours.
Yeah. Obsessive.
Sherry, that's exactly it. And it's not the first time. Like, this happens to me a lot. So one part of me is, like, watching the whole thing happening, saying, oh, I know this.
Uh-huh.
And I know this is probably why it's happening, but that wasn't even enough. It's so big.
Yeah.
That
it's so real. It's so believable.
It's so believable.
Yeah. So, in fact, you could have a team of medical people saying, no, there's really nothing there. And you,
well, that actually happened.
Huh?
That happened, and that has happened.
Uh-huh.
And there is nothing
there.
That voice
is not convinced at all.
I don't even want to believe that.
That's right.
And at the same time, there's another part of me that is knowing that that is true. There really is nothing wrong. And that egocentric karma conditioning is in such an uproar about the fact that I'm planning to spend a year really focused and paying attention to what's going on.
You have signed up for a year-long email class, and every day you're going to be encouraged to turn this scrutiny on it, on ego, on conditioned mind, and it is saying we need to come up with an alternative plan here. And the one that you're most likely to fall for is you'll be dead by next week.
It's my big it gets me every time.
Oh yeah, well that you know it is compelling. there's no question about it. And it's funny when we're disidentified from it, and it's tragic when we're in the middle of it. But it's that kind of thing where okay, well it's never been true before. That's right. You know, because you can say, hey, I've heard this from you people over and over and over, and it's never been true. And the voice says, well, but it could be true this time.
This time.
And, you know, there's really no arguing with that. So what we're left with, of course, is the sort of the heart and soul of Zen awareness practice, which is we have to make peace even with that.
Right, because that's also what's in the back of it, is that I'm also thinking, boy, I really will have come to a place, and here I am separating. Like, when I get to that place, when it really doesn't matter, mm-hmm. It can't draw me in like that.
Yes, your response to it will be, it will say, you're going to die, and your response will be, this is true. Yes, I will. And that's why I'm doing this work, so that I will be ready instead of terrified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I also, I'm saying, yeah, but there's something going on there. I wasn't really getting or buying what you just said.
Oh, right. That's exactly right. Because when you do, when all of you is on board, so what you're describing, at least what I'm hearing you describe, is that you're going back and forth.
Right, yes.
Identifying
okay.
with this part of you who believes, but it could be true, and what if it is?
Yes.
And then you're disidentifying. You're stepping back and saying, I know that's not true. I know I've fallen for this time and time again, and this is a scam. And
right.
you identify with the part who says, yeah, but, you know, it could be true, and someday it is going to be true. And then I say something like, yeah, and the point of all of this work is to get to the place where you recognize that, yes, one day it will be terminal, it will be fatal, I will die, and that'll be fine.
Right, and so probably when you said it, because it didn't hit me, when you just said it this time, I had a totally different reaction
yes.
than when you said it the last time.
Yes.
So it was where I was if
yes,
I was identified
saying,
the first time, and I wasn't identified the second time.
Yes.
That was cool.
Don't you love this stuff?
I love it.
Yeah.
That was perfect. That was just what I just saw that really clearly.
Yeah. Good.
That was
well,
very
we have
neat.
Done our work.
Huh?
We have done our work.
That was great. So thank you. I just really wanted to call. I love the show, and I love the email class.
Good. Thank you for doing the work.
Okay.
It's
thank
wonderful.
You. Thank
All
you
right.
for putting
Talk
me
to you
on.
Soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's fun in this new time slot, Sherry.
It is. More people seem to be available.
More? Yes. Yes. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back in a couple minutes for our final segment, and we have a couple more callers, so we'll be talking to you then. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll have our third segment of today's show in our new time slot, so keep it tuned here. We'll be continuing our conversation about conscious, compassionate awareness. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, I'm, you know, inclined to small talk, but given everybody who wants to talk, I think we should jump into it.
I agree.
Okay. I'd like to welcome Rebecca from Atlanta.
Hi.
On Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, thank you. It's glad to speak with you both.
Hi.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's awesome to hear your voice. Always. This is the big talk. Michael just said the small talk, so we're going to cut out the small talk and get to big talk.
Okay. All right. We're ready.
Okay. So everything that everybody's been saying tonight, I just it really resonates with me, of course, another human being. And I've been on through such a process with it over the past few years, and it's so amazing to me because every segment of the journey has felt so real and like that's the way it was going to be. And then it changes my perception of what's happening. I mean, maybe it's the different subpersonalities taking over regarding my particular issue and what should be done about it. And then eventually I've gotten to the place where I'm just watching. And right now I've started something that I wanted to sort of, I don't know, bring it to you.
Okay, let me make sure I'm up with you. So you've been going along, doing the work, paying attention, mm-hmm. practicing awareness,
right?
And you watch things change, and
yes.
It could be simply that you're changing aspects of the personality.
Mm-hmm.
So one part of you looks at it and it looks like that, and then another part of you is there and it looks slightly different.
Right,
that could be going on.
And what also I think is going on is center is getting stronger.
Uh-huh.
We're getting more airtime.
Uh-huh.
That could be a possibility so that I can even keep watching.
Uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
I couldn't keep watching if center wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's shifting.
So you're aware that you are stepped back enough from what you're watching that there's a sort of consistent observation,
yes,
regardless of which part of you might be there experiencing life.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And in the past 2 weeks, I don't know which show it was, but you said something about making a schedule.
Uh-huh.
And I just picked that up. And so what started to happen, and it wasn't like I really made a choice to do this, it just started to happen, and I'm just going with it, is all of those observations, because I'm always observing, I started to write down what everybody inside of me seems to feel like they need.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one time you talked about you are a house and you welcome your guest.
Yes.
And you put a little thing out for each subpersonality. You could do that.
Yes,
so what I've done today, I've collected all of my lists of all the different voices to say all the different things they want to do, and I made a schedule that allows each sub to get a little bit of time.
Oh, my.
So
good.
This is a new experiment.
Do they seem happy about this?
Well, it's interesting because... Oh, I'm just watching, first of all. And second, I noticed, like, while I was sitting down to write it, there was this pressure in my chest.
Mm.
I'm not sure what that was about. And so I would sit for a few moments and breathe and just say, okay, I'm doing this just to sort of have kindness to all parts of me.
Mm-hmm.
And to be with all the parts of me while they're having the experience they believe they want to have.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, doing a process like that, a practice like that, a couple of things happen. One, I'm fond of pointing out to people that an awful lot of the difficulties of life happen because we have the wrong aspect of the personality there at a particular time. So I mean, you have a
yes.
part of your personality who could do any and everything that arises in your day. You know, you have a part who likes to shop, you have a part who likes to cook, you have a part who likes to clean up afterwards, you have a part who's organized, you have
right.
a part who likes to play, you have a part who... and right down the line, there's somebody who loves to go to work, somebody who loves to get dressed to go to work.
There's somebody who likes to make schedules, and she wasn't there when I was making it today.
Aha, uh-huh. There's a perfect example. If she had been there, then making the schedule would have been no problem. She would have organized everybody. You know, she would have put them in little lines. And
oh, we did that, but there was this pressure in my chest.
Well, now this is the second part of the program, right?
Okay.
So if we could get, if we were doing here in President Centered.
I'm sorry, you're fading out. I'm just getting, it's choppy.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, keep us posted, okay?
This is better now.
Okay. I'll kind of yell at you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So if we had the right person there all the time, then our lives would work very, very smoothly. Because, you know, you need to go to the store and pick up a few things.
Yeah.
You bring the person in who loves to do that. You've got to interact with a clerk. You bring the person who loves to chat and be social and grease the wheels, okay? But what happens is that we have this other kind of pesky thing that goes on in life called suffering and the illusion of a separate self or egocentric karmic conditioning or even, God help us all, self-hatred.
Right.
But
yes. It really feels like that person, whoever it is, whoever the sub is, that wants to be there and enjoy herself or himself, gets beat up. And I hear, you're bad. Oh, it's horrible.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm guessing that that's a good part of where the pressure in the chest was.
Yeah.
That's what that was from. So we do have this very, very strong force. Around us, in us, where, however we want to, you know, it's not personal, it's not your fault, you didn't create it, but it's there, and it, in fact, does not want you to be happy. In fact, it wants suffering to go right on. In fact, it wants the wrong person to be there at the right time so that your life will be chaotic and urgent and simple and control and all of those things that create this opening for suffering to be fed.
Right. Yeah. So, whoever I'm trying to be at that time always gets sort of the shaft.
Yes.
Or whoever's trying to come up and experience life just gets pummeled and told that they're the wrong person.
Yep. So both of those things are going to be happening all the time, right? You're going to be doing your best to be present and centered and evoking the parts of you who are most appropriate to the situation you're in.
It's getting really fuzzy again.
So that you can enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
Are we fading out?
A little bit.
Oh, dear.
I can still hear you, so keep going.
Okay.
It's just chopping.
So you're going to be trying to be a centered presence, enjoying life, and this other force is going to be there, just kind of walking along parallel to your life.
Yeah.
Doing everything that it can do to mess you up. Now, if you know that that's the case, and you know it's not your fault, and you don't have to take it personally, then it's kind of like having an annoying relative or a, you know, an irritating coworker.
Yeah.
You don't have to hate them, but you don't have to take it on.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I sort of step in sometimes with a mentor part of me for the sub-personality that's trying to have the experience, and that feels so good.
Yes.
It really feels like that sub-personality is getting lifted up and sort of shining and allowed to just do as it will.
Yes, and have support instead of being there in this constant battle.
Yes.
With conditioning.
Yes, I've never been able to discuss this with anybody. This is so cool.
Yeah.
And in those moments, I am so present.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That sub-personality enjoys every ounce of what I do.
It's the best, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
It's very juicy life.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad we have this place to talk about it because you're right. This is not a conversation that you can have with an awful lot of folks.
No,
but that's
all
true.
I want to call back as my 4 weeks progresses because I committed to my schedule for 4 weeks.
Oh!
Tonight was my first night.
Oh, yeah. Keep us posted.
Okay.
Yeah. Other people out there might be joining you. You never know.
It's fun.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Thanks so much, Sherry, for everything.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, it's fascinating, those aspects of the personality and bringing the wrong one in at the... just at the crucial moment.
Oh.
I don't know how we do it.
Yes. Yes. And so often that's the case. You know, we just get distracted for a split second. And boom, there's somebody gets shoved in there who's just not the right person for the job at all. And then it goes it goes south at a big extreme.
Yes.
So if you know, if we could be aware that that's going to happen, like it, with what Rebecca is doing, to actively evoke a certain aspect of the personality, you know, so I'm going to go to the store and I want to bring in the person who likes to be friendly and patient and chatty with the people in the store.
Yes.
Okay. And then I'm going to ask that person to be there. I'm going to watch that person arrive. I'm going to watch that person do what it does. And I'm going to watch what attempts to come in and sabotage that effort.
Yeah.
To me, that's what makes life interesting, rather than just going unconscious and hoping to be the right person and then getting a lot of information that I'm not.
Yes. Sherry, we have a couple minutes left here, and we have one more caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Celia from Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Celia.
I'm so glad the last caller talked about subpersonalities, because I've been doing your email class, your year-long email class, and we've been talking a lot about subpersonalities.
Yes.
And I am really confused.
Oh, you are in your confused subpersonality?
I guess so.
Uh-huh.
Because all my expectation in dealing with Zen or working in Zen is that I'm always cutting my thoughts away.
Uh-huh.
And so here I am doing all this work at listening to my thoughts and listening to the voices.
Uh-huh.
And deciding, oh, this voice is this sort of a subpersonality and that voice just belongs to that one, and it seems contrary to everything that I've thought that practicing Zen was until now.
Uh-huh. Well, the thing that's interesting about that is, that here's the, since you're a student of Zen, here's the koan. Who is it who would cut out their thoughts?
Mm.
You see, I've always been extremely leery of those kinds of practices, because to me, what it's doing is creating a subpersonality who is going to be in charge of watching the thoughts, keeping score, deciding how well you're doing with the thoughts, whether you are successful at cutting them off or whether you... Okay? So this is simply taking things that are very broad and making them very narrow. So you have one subpersonality, perhaps the little Zen master, who's going to be in charge of watching the whole system and deciding how well it's doing.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that that's anything that we would call progress.
Uh-huh.
Now, if it's in pursuit of narrowing things down so that you can keep an eye on them. You know, it's kind of like putting all of your possessions in one room. You know, they're more confined or contained that way.
Uh-huh.
But nothing has really happened to them.
Uh-huh.
They've just gotten shifted around to another room.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm finding so many thoughts coming up all the time.
Yes. And you see, there are two things about that. You're finding so many thoughts all the time. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were always there, whether you noticed them or not. They were always there. Right? So now you've really caught on to how many of them are there. Now,
are they really always there, or am I creating them? Am I feeding them? Am I feeding them?
Oh, they're always there. You're just aware of them. You're just noticing them.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you're noticing them, you have a distance on them.
Mm-hmm.
So now if I don't say I've decided that, well, we in the class, you know, we're doing shoes. So I've decided that I only want one pair of shoes. That's going to simplify my life. I'm just going to pare things down, and I'm only going to have one pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so I feel really good about that. I feel like I've made a lot of progress about possessions, because now I'm down to only one pair of shoes.
Right.
Don't you suppose that that one pair of shoes will take on an importance equal to what the importance that all of those pairs of shoes had?
I don't.
Wouldn't
know.
I be, in fact, ahead of the game to simply lose all interest in shoes?
Yes.
Yes.
That I understand.
Yeah. I have shoes when I have them. I don't have them when I don't have them. I like them. I don't like them. Who cares?
Yes.
Yeah. But as long as there's someone who's taking this personally, who's trying to have a particular experience, things a certain way.
I see.
Yeah.
It's the taking it personally.
Yes.
Ah.
It's being someone who's going to be in charge of this.
Yeah.
That's the source of the suffering.
Yeah. Got it.
Very good.
That was fast.
That was excellent. I thought we were going to have to say, well, now we'll have to continue this next week, because there's no way we can get to the end of this in this kind of time. But look at us go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Celia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Tonight, we're in our new time slot, which is 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, and I think it's been a huge success, Sherry.
I've enjoyed myself thoroughly.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've enjoyed you, and I've enjoyed the people who called.
Oh, yes.
So it's, for me, it's just, it's been the perfect experience.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
That's all we ask of any moment, isn't it?
What's that?
That's all we ask of any moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. It's been great to listen to you, Sherry. Thanks for being on the air.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Good. How about next week?
I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Michael.
Great. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. I'd like to thank all of our listeners and callers today. It's been a great show. If you'd like to email us while we're off the air, you can reach us at openair@livingcompassion.org. Archives of all the show are right here at World Talk Radio. Thank you so much, and we'll talk with you next week.